Turalurra, 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 turalaye. Any umbrellas, to fix today. Do you know that song?
No.
Bring your parasol, it may be small, it may be big. He repairs them all with what he calls a thingamajig. Pitter-patter-patter, pitter-patter-patter, it looks like rain. Any umbrellas to fix today. There you go. So what we just did, we did the Linda Barry technique, because we talked about it in the Notebooks podcast.
Yeah.
Linda Barry starts a public speaking by singing, because it's the most horrific and embarrassing thing you can potentially do. So why not just do it? I disagree. I think, you know, farting or shitting yourself would be much worse. So if Linda, if you're listening, I look forward to your next thing. But thank you for the tip. We enjoyed my horrible song there.
Yeah, what was that song? I've never heard that.
It's called Umbrella Man. I'm not quite sure what the story behind it is, but we did used to sing it in primary school.
Okay.
And a lot of the songs we sang in primary school, apart from, you know, Christian hymns, were old music hall songs.
That's
possible. So I actually just read this history of music hall, and there were so many songs that I recognised in it. I don't think Umbrella Man was, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's an old, hoary old chestnut of music hall. Well, hello, folks. I'm still Robert Ringham.
I'm still Landis Blair.
And we enjoyed doing the Niceness of Notebooks podcast so much, we thought we'd do another one. Maybe even a trilogy, but we'll not talk about episode 3 yet. And I think, as you can probably guess from my horrible song, the theme of episode 2 is
musicals.
Oh, I wonder if it is from a musical, actually.
Oh,
maybe the that's a digression. Umbrellas.
Umbrellas, yes.
Umbrellas is a thing. So we thought, could we do 3 fairly prosaic subjects? Notebooks, umbrellas, and ? And actually make them entertaining, or at least discuss the beauty of these objects, the innate beauty of these things. So actually, the first thing I wanted to talk about with umbrellas is really why I like them so much.
Yeah.
Is, I'd say probably half of people have an umbrella.
Yes.
And if you don't have one, you have had one. So everyone has right. first hand. So in a way, they're extremely everyday, extremely quotidian.
Yeah.
But also kind of eccentric. And to me, the umbrella fits into the similar kind of category as maybe a brooch for a man, or like maybe a nice green velvet jacket.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of a piece of dandyism.
So it's much more the fashion side of it is what you're
about
the utilitarian.
Well, we could go either way, but I think that is the first thing I like about them. That's what really interests me about umbrellas, is they are kind of eccentric.
Yeah.
But even, you know, you know, in terms of utility, they're quite eccentric. It's a little portable roof that you can, that you collapse and carry around with you. And people just keep them in their entryways and the footwells of their car as if it doesn't mean anything. But it's a little portable roof.
That changes my view, but I think that's good. That's very good.
It must be the only sort of everyday object that you lift above your head at any point. Like, you know, I mean, you could lift anything above your head, but it's part of the design to lift it above your head. So it's just sort of unusual in its own right. And yet everyone has one or has had one.
Right.
So it's something that's quite quirky that has been incorporated into just the absolute everyday.
Right.
You know, there's bits of Glasgow where you'd be risking a lynching if you wore the the green silk jacket or velvet jacket. But everyone can have an umbrella, you know.
Yes.
So that's the main thing. That's what I really like about umbrellas.
So aside from the fact that it keeps you dry when it's raining,
it also keeps you dry.
Okay. Well, I which is interesting because you live in Glasgow. And which is a place where almost every single day you are very likely to get at least a spot of rain, even though it's not in the forecast.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense to be carrying an umbrella, but you're doing it for fashion per se, whereas the places I've lived, I mean, it rains, but an umbrella is not a it's not something you would every day bring with you. You check the weather.
That's because you're from the windy city, wind being the enemy of the umbrella. You live in the worst place for umbrellas.
Well, two things about that. Yes, I have experienced, I've lost a grand umbrella to the wind in Chicago that snapped it in the midst of this thunderstorm that popped up. But that phrase, windy city, is not referring to the wind.
Does it not refer to the political climate or the economic climate or something? It is windy there.
Well, it's windy, I think, because of the buildings. I've heard people describe, like, it's like wind, it's like tunnels.
Just right. It funnels it down.
Yeah, so.
I see.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the long-winded politicians from a certain era. But to be fair, the wind of Chicago has taken the life of one.
One casualty. To be fair, in Glasgow, quite often I see, destroyed umbrellas shoved into a public dustbin.
Yes,
People have just given up and they've gone, oh no, it's too windy, throw it in the bin because it's basically ruined.
Yeah, I've actually thought about, maybe I'm betraying myself with Chicago. Maybe it really is windy because I've oftentimes take note of the umbrellas and trash cans, and I've taken photos of them here and there because they have this really kind of beautiful decrepitude about them. They're very sad and limp. And
they do. They look like a sort of dead crow or something.
Yeah, they do. I think it would be a really interesting, you could do a very interesting photo series or art exhibit of just umbrellas and bins.
Yeah. I anthropomorphize my umbrellas a little bit, and I give them names, and they have certain characters. I'm sort of sentimented now, but it is true. And so actually when I pass the, an umbrella graveyard, I sort of shield where I imagine the eyes would be on my umbrella. Like, don't look, darling, it's okay. Because it's so cruel.
Yeah.
It's like, accidents happen, but just so many.
Well, and maybe that's part of the appeal to umbrellas too. Is they do have lots of character, and it's very easy to see. I mean, they have two positions that are normal, either closed up or in their full portable roof glory.
Yeah,
and when anything is amiss from one of those two states, it looks really wrong.
That's true. Oh, you mean if it's torn or something?
Yeah, if it's torn, or because oftentimes people will still carry an umbrella for, months or even years that has one or two like broken spines, or where the nylon is isn't attached to one spine, so there's like,
or it's got a slightly broken elbow.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
But people will still keep using them because it's 85% as effective, but it always looks to me really, really sad.
It is sad. I don't know why. Maybe I don't know. This is what I'm talking about. How they're kind of eccentric, but they've been accepted. There's something about the quiddity of umbrellas that's just some sort of disarming, and it's just really hard not to like them. I actually have a technique for dealing with umbrellas in the wind.
Oh, you do?
And I should patent it. It's up there with Harness the Zombie.
Which is a whole other...
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
I call it Spearing Zephyrs. And I think that's worthy of... I'd love to see it illustrated like an Alan Crawford-style diagram of a dandy spearing zephyrs. So it's zephyrs being kind of wind sprites. And whenever there's a gust of wind, I always imagine it's a zephyr. And so what I do is you need to pierce it with the nose, the point of the umbrella, because it sort of breaks through.
Okay.
And so you don't give the zephyr the chance to really get the underside of the umbrella. So if your umbrella's fairly strong, you should be able to spear it. If it's got a metal tip, that's ideal. Mine is plastic.
But to divert the aerodynamics that breaks through the wind and it pushes it to the side.
It must do. I mean, maybe it's just my imagination and I'm just having fun, but that's my tip to all you umbrella users out there, especially in Chicago and other windy cities. Some zephyrs.
No, I think that works in some circumstances, but I guess you really shouldn't be outside if it's thunderstorming to begin with.
No, especially not with a metal umbrella. just wear your crash helmet as well, why not?
Yeah.
Or your stainless steel hat.
but for like a good, consistent driving rain, I think the spearing the zephyr is probably effective, but it doesn't take into account gusts that come from
no
from storms that come from any direction that you can't. Can't spear in all directions at once.
No, that's true, but that's the skill. That's why. I mean, that's when you get into Olympic Zephyr spearing. This is something they should have at the Chap Olympiad, I think. They should. It's Zephyr spearing.
You'd have a little wind monitoring hat that has one of those little. I don't know what those are called.
Hey, look, put it like this: I've never lost an umbrella to the wind, and I carry an umbrella nearly every day.
Wow!
I have lost umbrellas, but not to wind. And I'll tell you in glorious detail of all the umbrellas. But I wanted to ask you a quick question before I get to my umbrella chronology.
Okay.
The umbrella chronology is going to be the alternative to what we did in the Notebooks podcast, where we went through that guy's, Sean Flanagan's reviews.
Yeah.
We don't have access to really good or witty umbrella reviews for some reason. I did find one. There's an article in The Independent, 10 Best Umbrellas. As you rightly pointed out, we haven't used them. We couldn't have an opinion.
We couldn't, and it would be just then speculating on someone else's words to a picture and saying, that sounds silly.
Exactly. Maybe that's not fair to the journalist who wrote it. Yeah. I did like the idea of baiting another person on Twitter, getting a retweet. Yeah. But I think for this one, I'll just stick to what we know.
There's got to be a at Mr. Umbrella Man or something.
Well, we'll start it. We're clearly very keen. Okay. The fabulous Umbrella Boys.
Yes. Yeah.
The question I wanted to ask you was, in America, do you have the myth of it's bad luck to open an umbrella indoors?
Yes. At least I've people know of it and I hear of it, but I don't know. I don't hear as much superstition about that as opposed to like walking under a ladder or.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's a lower grade superstition. So maybe is it pretty prevalent here in the UK?
Well, I was actually just wondering that today because I used to hear a lot about that. When I was a child, it was always, oh, don't open umbrella indoors.
Yeah.
And my grandparents would say it, my parents would say it. It was really quite a common one. I remember school teachers saying it even.
Yeah.
No one really believes it, but at the same time, it was don't do it.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that maybe there is some genuine reason for it, but it's not bad luck as such.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, does it scatter moisture around or something? I don't know. So there might be some mundane explanation for something fantastical.
I mean, because I do see in larger spaces in America when people will bring in the umbrella and they'll actually leave it open.
Yeah, that's it. Same here. So I wondered if actually maybe that's gone out of fashion, that ludicrous superstition, because you see it in offices and art centres and even bars. You see people leaving them open to dry off.
Although I guess they were not opened inside. They were opened outside and brought in.
But you do have to close it to get through the door.
So
I think it's been, unless there's a kind of two minute rule of umbrella opening.
Well, or the closure, because you can make it go flaccid and then
interesting choice of word. You're right. So maybe you can half do it.
Yeah,
and enter the room and then reopen.
Doesn't count as a full open, and it's like an assist.
Wow. I mean, that is the logic of a Talmudic scholar, that is. You really... It's a good job we're not obsessive people coming to these conclusions to just justify the superstitions.
Well, I would argue that we both are quite obsessive people, but maybe not quite with superstitions, or not willing to admit it.
Maybe, yeah. I think it's magical thinking, isn't it? I think we're probably both victims or prone to magical thinking a little bit. We're both atheists of similar but somewhat different stripes, but yeah, maybe we both fall victim to magical thinking a little bit.
I think we do.
You know what? You know when you do a really difficult sum on a calculator, instead of just pressing C to clear it, you turn it off and turn it back on again?
No, I press C like 5 times.
Okay, that's clear. Fair enough. That's simple. I mean, how do I completely relate to that? I know exactly what you mean. I bet there's loads that we do, like, but both the same. But wait, we mustn't get distracted from umbrellas. Yes. The challenge here is to talk about umbrellas
for
as long as possible. We did an hour on notebooks.
We did. I've got a lot of umbrella things to say, so
excellent.
Plenty of time. So I'm not nervous at all.
Well, I guess, Should we move into my chronology of Archelaus?
Yes, yes, Rob, please share your life in the history of umbrellas.
I'll try and come up with anecdotes for each one and not just name umbrellas.
Oh, right, because you actually have proper Christian names.
I do. I do. Well, my first umbrella, Peter. Oh, it takes me back. Me and my sister had little miniature children-sized umbrellas when we were little.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both the same, and they were striped. You've seen them. It's a really standard umbrella design. It's yellow, blue, and red, I think.
Okay.
When you open it, each panel is a different colour. And when it's rolled up, it's kind of candy stripes.
Yes.
So we had those, and my mom had the full-length adult one in the same design. And as a boy, I used to just think that was the absolute height of it. I just thought, you know, me and my sister, Katie, we're like little adults now.
Yeah.
Like we're small, but we have the same things going on. So I just thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first umbrella? What a weird question to be asking someone.
I think I had a child's one, but I don't. I just have a vague recollection of it being small and like plastic vinyl, like see-through, and it had some design on it, or maybe a character. But I don't remember much about that. But the first umbrella that I would say I have real memories of. I visited England on a school trip in high school, and
you all got special umbrellas because you knew you were going to be rained on.
Yes,
we actually have wind. I can't think of the word. A windbreaker is that a kind of coat when we come to Chicago?
Oh, that's right. Okay,
go on. I'm sorry. See-through.
Well, that one wasn't see-through. The see-through one I just have vague, kind of misty memories of. But the first one, probably because I bought this one, was right before I came to England. But I was traveling, and so I bought the smallest micro umbrella that I could, because I thought that was the coolest thing about you could
fit
it in your pocket. And
yeah.
And I just thought it was the best. I mean, pockets. That's another.
Oh my god! that's a whole other podcast. That's the pocket cast.
But so I had memories of that. But I'm pretty sure that on that trip to England, that umbrella snapped in the wind because was so small and flimsy. I mean, it was so compact that it couldn't withstand.
But you bought it in Chicago.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
weird.
I think they all come from the same place these
in
days.
China. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think the umbrella as a whole concept comes from China, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That like the parasols that you see?
Yeah.
The paper ones?
I may be wrong. I did look into it many years ago because I wrote a short blog about umbrellas, and I looked into it, and I think it's one of these things that's slightly disputed. Yeah. Might be India, might be China. It's like chess; the actual origin is not 100% clear.
Oh, okay,
but yeah,
the portable roof.
yeah, why not? But the see-through one you mentioned.
Yes,
I do remember seeing those for the first ever time. I've got a very clear recollection.
Oh, you do?
Oh, very clear recollection.
Oh.
A very clear recollection of seeing a very clear umbrella
for
the first time in Blackpool, which is it's a holiday resort here. It's a bit like, Vegas or Niagara. Okay. It's more like Niagara Falls, actually, because it's pretty down at heel and kind of shabby.
A lot of crummy souvenir shops.
Okay. Like you know Rock, don't you? It's like a stick of hard candy with a word going through it.
Oh no, I don't. I was thinking you meant rock candy.
Oh, it's rock candy, but it's in one big stick, so it's not broken up into little pieces usually.
Okay.
But we actually call that Blackpool Rock because it's synonymous with the place. It's like it's the place for tacky seaside souvenirs.
Okay.
Sorry, digression again. But yeah, that was where I saw my first see-through umbrella.
Huh.
And it was kind of, it was bell-shaped, so you can almost put your head inside it.
Yeah.
I think that was the idea, is you can see through as you walk along. And as a kid, I just thought, wow. It's. I don't like see-through ones now, actually.
Yeah.
I've never owned one, and I don't approve of them. But, as a child, when I first saw them, I thought it was genius. What a clever idea.
Well, it's kind of extending the concept a bit from portable roof to portable roof and walls.
It is, Well, the logical extension of that is a portable roof, walls and floor.
Well,
and then before you know it, you've got people in hamster balls. That's the next thing.
Which would keep you out of the rain.
It would keep you out of the rain. You could walk through puddles, no problem at all. Yeah, you wouldn't need the rain slickers. You could wear a bikini in there.
you could cross the river and you wouldn't.
Well, oh yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah,
that would be great. That would be really good. Let's invent that. but the one of my issues with the see-through one is they get dirty because the rain in Britain might be different in America, but the rain in Britain contains silt, which actually comes from the Sahara Desert. It's Sahara Desert sand. So when you see a thin layer of sand on a car windscreen after the rain, it's actually sand from the Sahara Desert that's come here on, the Gulf Stream or something, I don't know. But yeah, that's it. I think it's a lyric in a Queen song. Every drop of rain that falls the Sahara Desert says it all.
Whoa.
I'm at risk of singing again.
Obviously, it wasn't bad enough the first time.
We had to do more.
Yeah,
but they don't make it grubby, so it might not happen in America.
They do get grubby, but I'm assuming it's not from the Sahara Desert in America.
You've got your own deserts.
We do have our own deserts.
Maybe it's Vegas again.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Cool. Which would be really filthsome stuff, I would imagine.
I'd like to think that the ones I saw in Blackpool were getting filthed with Vegas sand. It's sort of Vegas and Blackpool relate to each other. They're connected like a Stargate.
Oh, yeah, there's some country where the Sahara and Vegas dust mingles.
I think there's like a wormhole, yeah.
Maybe it's like Prince Edward Island or something.
You don't remember your first one.
I don't, aside from the vague clear recollection. So
yeah.
So the one in London that I brought to London that broke was the first. But what was your? Well, I wanted you to tell me your second. But also you said that you named your umbrella. Did you name the first one?
Yes. Well, actually, that's probably the second one that's worth talking about. I think there were intermittent umbrellas, but they weren't. Anything really. There's no stories. So the next one really. Oh well, actually. Do other people's umbrellas count? At university, my best friend used to walk around with a full-length gentleman's umbrella.
Yeah.
And it was really just heavy and unwieldy, but he used to carry it with him all the time.
Okay.
And it always made me laugh because, in fact, it goes back to the umbrella and the dandy because I knew two things. One was in Stephen Fry's The Liar, the character in that, who's kind of an Oscar Wilde-like character.
Yeah.
He has an umbrella. And funnily enough, he named his umbrella as well. So maybe this is the birth of this concept.
Yeah.
His umbrella, I think, was called Justin, was the name of his umbrella. I don't know why. I don't know if that's a pun or something.
Yeah.
But Justin. And my friend Tom had this umbrella, and it made me think of Justin. I thought, how pretentious that he's going around with this umbrella. and so, therefore, how wonderful. And it was just always there.
Yeah.
And, so maybe that was the impetus for me now having the same thing. I always had a full-length gentleman's umbrella. That might have been the start of it. I just copied someone I admired at university. It's possible. Oh, and the other thing was Sherlock Holmes reference. It's, I can't remember the story. I can't remember which one it's from. But at some point in Sherlock Holmes, it said that every gentleman in London would walk with a cane or its close brother, the tightly coiled umbrella. That's it. So it's kind of I think you would get shouted at in the street for walking with a gorgeous cane today, but you could get away with a full-length umbrella.
Right,
it's kind of the next best thing.
That's a good point, because it's a cane is going to be seen as very pretentious unless you actually are elderly or have an obvious limp or walking extremely slowly.
I think you get the benefit of the doubt with an umbrella. It's like they probably suspect that you're being a ponce, but it's entirely possible you just don't want to get your hair wet.
Right.
Which for some reason is not poncy. That's allowed.
No. They can't shout insults at you because it could start raining.
Yeah.
And then they would be...
Stealth dandyism. which brings this nicely onto my main named umbrella, Enrique. Yeah.
Henrique.
His name was Henrique. I don't know why I decided to call it Henrique.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was a real name at first. It was the closest I could think of now is Enrique, like Enrique Iglesias. So I don't know where I got Henrique from. Huh. Absolutely ludicrous. And so it was called Henrique, and I had this umbrella for years and years. And I think the original Henrique, I lost it. I think I left it in a bar somewhere.
Okay.
But then there was Henrique 2, which was the exact same umbrella. It was a Marks and Spencer's gentleman's umbrella, £12.
Yeah. What colour was it?
It was black.
Okay.
With a silver collar and a wooden curved handle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very insistent on the curved handle.
Oh, you are?
I always hate an umbrella with just a straight handle like a truncheon. I don't like it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I like the curve. I think that's right. It just fits the hand nicely. Plus, it's you can, you know, twirl it like a cane and, and all the rest of it. But yes, that was Enrique. And the real story about Enrique is when I lost Enrique 2, yeah. It was because I was hit by a car. I was actually hit by a black taxi cab on the corner of Great Western Road and Byers Road in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And it broke my arm. It was lucky I wasn't killed. But that was when I lost that umbrella. I dropped it. Enrique was unscathed. But I remember him bouncing off. It was open. The umbrella was open.
Oh.
And maybe the umbrella obscured my view, and that's what happened. I don't think so. If only I had a clear umbrella. But I remember it bouncing away and just thinking, oh, just leave it. You've got a broken arm, most likely. So I didn't go. So that's the story of the death of Enrique.
He went his own way.
He did. I hope somebody got him. I hope somebody picked him up and salvaged him. For all we know, he's still out there.
He might be. I mean, I suppose, too, it was fair game. He was just jumping ship when he realized, oh, he can't hold me anymore. So,
yeah, that's true. Oh, that's such a good point. Such a good point. So like, I don't want to be out of commission for 9 weeks. That's true. Such a good point.
Yeah. So that, how long were you umbrella-less before you replaced Enrique?
I replaced Enrique with another one. That it was not from Marks and Spencer's, but it was the same basic thing, and it was called Delilah.
Okay.
And the reason I called it Delilah is because I was watching a lot of Steptoe and Son, which is you have Sanford and Son in America, which is a sitcom. That's actually based on a really old British one called Steptoe and Son.
Oh, okay.
And in that, they had a horse for many years called Samson, and then when Samson died, they replaced it with one called Delilah. So I decided to name my replacement Delilah for that reason. Ludicrous.
Also black, though?
It was also black, yeah.
Okay.
But my current umbrella...
Yes.
That is not all the umbrellas, by the way.
Well, yeah, well, this is...
But this is it's a potted history, Peter. And Samara, my wife, calls me an umbrella philanthropist because I leave so many of them in restaurants and bars.
Oh.
And quite often we'll go back for them and they're still there. People are really nice at handing them in. But I have lost them in that same way.
What? We should maybe come back to this. When you said that about leaving them in bars, and you just reminded me of that Roald Dahl story, The Umbrella Man.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever read that short story.
No, I didn't. I think I have it, because I've got the collection of Tales from the Unexpected, and I think it's in there, but I haven't read it.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about The Umbrella Man?
Yeah, yeah. I want to come back to the umbrella that's sitting on the table here, though.
Okay.
But I
feel like I've got a... Yeah, okay. In fact, it's important for us to talk about the physically present umbrellas. Each have our own umbrella with us.
We do.
Luckily, Peter brought his wind-resistant Chicago umbrella with him to Glasgow this week. And I have mine, too. So would you like to do yours first? So I've been talking for a long time.
Sure. My opinions on umbrellas are very different, which is evidenced even from the
that's true.
What's sitting on the table here. But I see them as much more of a utilitarian item, and I don't like carrying them unless I have to. And so, if I do have to carry it, I want it to be small. And so, while a smaller umbrella is not going to be most effective as far as keeping you driest, it'll keep you dry enough if you're darting from one place to another, if the rain is heavy enough that you actually need an umbrella. So
that's
true. Always try getting the smallest one that still seems sturdy. And so I have, it's about like a, I guess about 8 inches long, collapsible umbrella that's black and discreet.
Yeah.
But I have a tendency to lose them. So because it's small, I will, yeah, like you.
I'm nodding smugly.
Yes. So, but that being said, I have learned not to buy the most expensive umbrella because you're probably going to lose it in 6 months or a year and then just
That's
buy
That's true.
One.
Actually, when I was looking at the 10 best umbrellas on the Independent website, they were insanely expensive.
Yeah.
And the cheapest on there was about £38.
Oh, my word.
But there were ones on there there were executive ones for sort of £200 and upwards.
Whoa.
Absolutely crackers, just to be left in a taxi cab somewhere.
I don't think I've ever spent... This might be the most expensive one I've bought in... Or no, it wasn't. I bought a $20 big, huge golf umbrella.
Oh yeah.
But this was probably like $12, and most of them have been closer to $5. But the one sad thing about this umbrella, which I'm gonna get socks in here because I realized that
this is the behind the scenes story. Is Peter really wanted this episode to be about socks?
I did, yes.
But I beat him in the arm wrestle, so we got to do umbrellas, which was my choice.
That this umbrella, I have not lost the umbrella, but I lost the umbrella, the nylon umbrella sock.
The sheath, yeah,
which is great for me because it makes it even more compact, and I don't actually use it that much in Chicago because if it's it's usually just kind of a quick dart if I use it, and so I tend to bring it. I mean, if I usually bring it, you know, the old saying that you won't need it, and that I usually do what I can to avoid having to use it, and so the smaller it is, the better. But I left the sheath in a coffee shop.
I actually, when I've had that sort of umbrella, I've actually thrown the sheath away.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
I just find it
pesky. It's one of those things, like the... I always throw away the plastic cap off the top of shaving foam or any aerosol can. I just throw it away. Why do you keep it? Is it because if you need to put it in your suitcase... But I never do. I never travel with anything like an aerosol. It's just in the bathroom.
I guess you could drop it. Well, it would just be one little quick.
It just wouldn't. It wouldn't do that. So instead of taking the cap off every time, I just have it ready to go. So that's the story of that. Enjoy that story, listeners.
Do you do the same thing with your toothpaste?
Because then it would be that would make the toothpaste not fresh. It would congeal. But
okay. But
the in the can, it's all compressed air in there. Like nothing's gonna.
Okay, I guess it is sealed, kind of.
Anyway, throw away. This is an amazing Robert Ring. In fact, I really hope this shows up on Wikipedia. He always throws away the umbrella sheath. On the rare occasions he has one.
Okay.
Although I have a related thing to say about umbrella sheaths. I promise it'll come back to your description. But in Central Station, I've noticed they've started providing full length umbrella sheaths.
Oh, I've seen those in stores in places.
Oh, but these are free. They're like disposable. So
yeah.
You pull it over your umbrella to stop you from dripping all over the concourse.
Yes, yeah.
Because I guess people must be slipping. So they do it to limit the puddles.
Yeah, I see those a lot in America in the front of, I guess, usually more fancier stores or in office buildings or things when you can tell that probably people are slipping, but probably it's also they're tired of having to mop it up and stuff. But I see those frequently.
I mean, that's a good idea. Do you think anyone really uses them?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone use one.
I took one off just to, because I'm obsessed with umbrellas. I thought I'd try it on when I got home. Little treat. And I'm pretty sure it was the first one.
Try it on your umbrella, you mean?
Well. Naturally. Oh my goodness. So your description of your umbrella... It's an 8-inch. My trouble with those is that I do see what you mean. If it's just about utility and it's a quick dash, it's absolutely no problem. But to me, it doesn't feel pleasant in the hand. It's the handle is not a handle. It's like a doorknob, and yours is like that. It's hollow.
Yes.
So your fingers and thumb is drawn to sort of the top end where it's almost like a plastic cup.
Yes.
Your finger slips inside. It's just, to me, that's a really unpleasant thing to hold. And it's when it's open, it's almost like a clattering tangle of coat hangers, of wire coat hangers, or like just a panicked crow. It's just all these angles and I don't know. It just doesn't seem elegant. But as you say, if you only have it... I've had those too. I've had those.
Yeah.
That's why I know. it's good for a quick dash, isn't it? And as you say, it's discreet. You can pop it in your satchel or whatever.
Right, that's the main thing too. I don't want to be carrying something else that I don't have to... I mean, I want to keep my hands free if possible.
So yeah.
I actually get really annoyed when I have to use the umbrella with having to hold wet, and like my hand gets tired kind of holding the umbrella, and then if I have to put gloves on or I want to put a piece of gum in my mouth or change my podcast or it makes it very cumbersome.
Well, why would anyone want to change their podcast if they're listening to this? I think at least the joy of the doorknob style hand law is it sort of, you can kind of cup it in the ball of, in the palm of your hand.
That's true.
And so that you can sort of get some respite that way. So that's not too bad. But yeah, I'm afraid I'm just a fan of the curved hand.
Oh, you just, we'll get to your umbrella. You just reminded me of the first umbrella I can remember that I had outside of the plastic one I can't remember was one of those silly umbrella hats.
Yes. I wanted to mention those because I don't like those either.
Because you...
A hands-free umbrella.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I don't think they're intended for actual use, are they? They're a novelty item.
I think they're more useful for sun than, but then you might as well get a sun hat and rather than looking ridiculous with a umbrella hat.
I swear I saw an umbrella hat somewhere the other day. It was on a foam head in a shop somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot for the life of me remember where that was. It must have been when we were in Berlin.
Oh,
I never go shopping, so it must have been in Berlin. Tell you what, it wasn't in Muji, if that's what you're thinking. That's a nice segue to my brolly,
yes,
but
yes.
I feel like you were going to say something else about yours that we didn't get to.
I think I got at least the most important parts. So.
You got the nub of it.
Yes. So let's move on to your highly contrasted umbrella that's sitting here on the table.
Yeah, well, I was going to say guess where it's from, but I've already spoiled the surprise. It's obviously from Muji.
Yes.
And I've got to say, Muji, it's an excellent umbrella. I've had this one for probably, I'd say, a year and a half. I bought it at the Birmingham branch of Muji in England.
You have to understand that the branch of the Muji that Rob buys things at is exceedingly important.
It is. I genuinely would like to visit all of the branches of Muji in the world and put them on some sort of blog, and then maybe when I've finished it, I get to meet the captain of Muji or something.
Mr.
Muji. Ian Muji comes out. He just knows, he can just tell when it's happened. He just comes out and there's all, silver and gold confetti fall down.
Yeah.
And the shop assistants all panic because, they all have OCD, obviously. That's why they work at Muji. They all start cleaning it up with their bare hands.
Yeah.
And Ian Muji shakes my hand and goes, "Oh, Robert Ringham, you've made it. This is the final Muji. We will fly you first class to the original branch in Tokyo." And I'll say, "There's no need, Ian Muji, I've been." And he'll say, "Of course." As if anyway, sorry, that was a bit of a fantasy there. But yeah, it is a Muji umbrella. Mine is red.
It's a nice red too. It's not a candy apple red. It's a very discreet kind of.
Would you describe it as crimson?
Yeah, I would actually. That's a perfect with a crimson with almost a burgundy handle.
Yes, that's right. I think they were trying to get the color to be as exact as possible, but you can only do so much with materials.
Right.
But it was. I first saw these umbrellas in the. Madrid outlet of Muji.
Oh, yeah.
But because I was traveling, it was impractical. I was worried they'd take it off me in the airport.
Yes.
So I waited until I was back in Britain, and I knew I was going to Birmingham a few weeks later, so I could wait.
Okay.
I somehow found it in me to wait. And I did, and they had them. And I can't remember the exact price, but it was phenomenally cheap for what it is. It was maybe £15,
okay.
Which I think is very good.
Especially for a long...
Yeah,
full-length umbrella. Like
that's what I should have said, sorry, when I was describing it. It's full-length. What did you say? It's almost not quite a metre?
Yeah, not quite, but that's...
One of the things I like about it, it's almost sculptural in that the colours of the plastic handle, the plastic... what do you call the little caps at the end of the arms? Caps. and the spear at the end. It's all approximately the same colour plastic, almost. And it's sort of sculptural. And at the time I was interested in, I had this idea that I'd always have one component of what I was wearing would be almost like a toy.
For your image, branding.
Yeah. Well, you are a man with a very distinguished and clear personal uniform. You always have a tie or a bow tie.
Yeah.
Certain kinds of shirts. You have your little... your round glasses, which are tortoiseshell.
Yes.
And your spiky hair, and of course...
Parker Pen
clipped into the shirt. So I've never been quite that dedicated, but I did have this period where I thought, I'm going to try and have one thing that's like a toy. Yeah. This umbrella fulfills that. Oh, okay. But then all the cool kids started wearing, there's a particular brand of headphones that they wear.
Oh, the big ones?
Yeah, they're quite big, and you can get them in, you know, like bright yellow or bright green or something. And they look like a Tonka toy or something. They look like a big, juicy plastic toy. And I thought, oh, everyone's doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, but I still think it's more discreet with the umbrella. I mean, it's a different thing, because there's some of my favorite photos that I've seen of you are where you're wearing a full suit, dark suit, and then you've got this bright, where maybe I'm thinking of a specific photo, this, you've got this red Muji umbrella open.
Oh, cool.
It's
a nice contrast.
It's a really nice contrast. So
Thank you.
I'm glad you still have the red umbrella.
Yeah, it somehow survived. It has speared many a zephyr in the last year and a half. It's really an unusual amount of time for me to have kept one. And the joy of it, because it's Muji, it's endlessly replaceable.
Right, you can always get another one.
Yeah, I mean, Muji very rarely discontinue a line. It's really predictable what you're going to get when you go there.
Okay.
Although they did cancel the coasters that I like. They don't do those anymore. But they still did the umbrella. I googled Muji umbrella, hoping to find a review or some other brolliophile. but the ones that everyone are talking about is apparently they do a very small collapsible brolly.
But I've never
seen that. So maybe it's only in US branches or Japanese branches. I don't know.
I mean, as far as pure visual aesthetics, the full length umbrellas are by far. I mean, I think that this mine here on the table looks quite silly.
But it's a choice, though, isn't it? It's you're a man who likes pens. I don't care, so I'll use a Bic or I prefer a pencil, to be honest.
But a Black Warrior pencil.
A Black Warrior pencil, yes. Which is, it's on its way, by the way.
It is? Oh, okay.
That's a conversation for another day. so that's my umbrella. Fell in love with it in Madrid, bought it in Birmingham, and I still somehow have it a year and a half later.
Well, it's a good thing.
Ooh, and its name is Eric.
Eric.
Because it's Eric the Red.
But then
Samara points out that Eric is kind of the Henri, actually, is the French of Eric. But that's, I'm ashamed to say, that is just a coincidence. That was not my master plan.
It's a pretty good coincidence.
I just thought, well, he's red, what would I call a red umbrella? Eric the Red.
Yeah, Eric the Red. could I ask you to christen my unattractive Stumpy umbrella?
Stumpy? You said it.
Okay, fair enough.
I fear I'm running out of umbrella things to say.
No, I've got lots more.
Fantastic.
I've got them in the queue.
Hit me.
Talking just about the aesthetics of umbrellas, what I love about them is, or one of the things I love about them, the full-length ones, is that they have there's a slightly timeless feeling to them. I mean, I don't know when the modern portable roof that we know with the sphere on the end was invented, that with the conical kind of, I guess, when you call that a parabola or like a contact lens shape.
concave.
Yes.
Concave shape.
Yes.
You call it an umbrella, actually. Like, it's one of those things that the word has, it's the word has moved on one to be more generic.
It's umbrella shape.
Yeah.
So when the portable roof
canopy.
Developed the canopy umbrella shape. I don't know when that was, but it's old enough that it has a very iconic feeling. When you see one, it kind of you're not quite sure what you're looking at, so you can kind of fool the eye or make yourself. There's kind of a connection to past generations, and there's this bar that I really like in Los Angeles that's called the Melrose Umbrella Company. And it's actually an old umbrella company, but at least I think it was actually one, but it doesn't matter. They've kind of renovated this space. There's a lot of kind of battered up wood, but then they have...
Where is that, sorry?
It's on Melrose Street in Los Angeles.
Okay. It sounded familiar, but it's been such a long time since I was in Los Angeles. It can't be what I'm thinking of.
But it's got on one of the walls, then they have this kind of wooden wooden rack that's hung up on the wall, and there's kind of there's these long, skinny, kind of like a big shadow box with like spots big enough for a full length umbrella, and then they have this line of vintage umbrellas from my guess is there's some for I guess if it's Los Angeles, it couldn't be more than probably 60 years old, but they look really old, and maybe they got them elsewhere, but it's just kind of. I think that's neat that they can be used as a decorative. I mean, they're a very utilitarian thing, but they have a certain beauty to them that's aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, we should do that in my tenement. We should put two umbrellas crossed like swords above the fireplace.
Yes, yeah.
What was the name of the store again?
It's called the Melrose Umbrella Company.
That's nice.
And they have really good cocktails and really nice umbrellas. Wow. On the walls.
If I had an actual umbrella company, especially in North America, because I can use the English charm to sell umbrellas, I'd call the company. My firm would be called Poppins and Cobblepot.
Oh yeah,
named after two famous umbrella users, Mary Poppins and Oswald Cobblepot, who's the Penguin on Batman.
Oh right, you were telling about him. So Poppins and Cobblepot.
Poppins and Cobblepot. And it sounds so hilariously English, it might actually do quite well in America.
I think it might, especially if you were using your dandy image to kind of... Because you could have very expensive high-end umbrellas if they were made in the same
I couldn't
place.
Do it in Chicago, though, because the shop would blow away.
It would, yeah. Yeah, I don't think Chicagoans would take as kindly to Poppins.
They're specialists, they're military grade. One thing we should say is that this podcast is not about parasols. We do not.
No.
That's the whole other thing. We do not do that.
That's
a bit like my joke about moss, isn't it? When people say, oh, I saw some lichen the other day, and I say, in the moss community, we do not lichen to moss. So I don't quite have the joke up my sleeve for...
You're probably foolish to attempt one at the moment.
That would be a case of wit, and that's sorely what I'm lacking. So, one other thing that I remembered is what I like to do with my full-length umbrella is to, when it's open, I rest the handle on my shoulder.
Yeah.
So it's behind me, and I spin it.
Oh.
And I pretend... I imagine I'm the time machine from H.G. Wells' The Time Machine.
You're the device itself?
Yeah, because it has like a big rotating disc behind the traveller's head.
Oh.
And so it sort of feels like that. So I pretend I'm a time machine. I only thought of that because you described umbrellas as timeless just now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they are timeless. Oh. In fact, they're a time machine.
So maybe they came into existence because someone... started twirling them way in the future, and then they came back and introduced them
to the Stone Age. Of course, back then they were made of saber-toothed tiger bones and pterodactyl skin, pterodactyl wings. Of course, that's why they went extinct. Pterodactyls hunted to extinction for cave people's obsession with umbrella making.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to find full intact. Skeletons.
Oh, brilliant. The fossil record is unclear. I think what they think is Archaeopteryx is actually a damaged Chicagoan umbrella. So I think the vocabulary for umbrellas, because I do not hesitate to call it a brolly, which I realise is very silly to a North American.
It is, but that's when I made that trip to England in high school when I had my micro umbrella that broke.
And they're all going, no, don't forget your brolly.
They were, and we thought it was the silliest thing, and we started using it as a joke. And it was just like, bring your brolly.
Bring your brolly. Well, according to Wikipedia, in England, we also call it a bumper shoot.
No.
I can assure you we do not.
Could you tag that onto your umbrella company name? So it'd be
Poppins and Cobblepots Luxury Bumper Shoots. yeah, I could see that. I could see that being a success.
Yeah,
in New York.
What
in Times Square or Time Machine Square, as it will be renamed in honor of our successful industry.
Yes, yeah.
There's a Muji in Times Square.
There's not a Muji in Chicago that I know of.
I don't think there is. I've been to Chicago twice to see you, and I don't recall going to Muji while I was
and
there.
And you would have gone.
I would have gone. Yeah. So I could smell it, or rather not smell it, because it's the only thing in the city that doesn't smell. Yeah. You said you had lots of things.
One of the other ones you just you brought up something that I wanted to talk about when you're talking about the penguin. Is the idea of umbrellas as weapons too, as defensive mechanisms? Because I mean, you have the kind of the traditional, you know, sword that you see.
Sword stick. Yeah, I have a sword stick.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Where in this apartment?
It's not in this apartment. It was actually my grandfather died last year.
Okay.
And he didn't leave a will, so they just said, "Do you want anything from the house?" And I thought about it.
It says egg cups.
They're really... Oh, I did say egg cups. You're right. I did. I needed egg cups, so I had egg cups. That's a whole other podcast. The semiotics of egg cups. If only we'd had the forethought to call these the semiotics of blank. People might have taken them seriously.
Oh, wow.
My parents decided to salvage his sword stick, which used to be mounted on the wall. And I was like, yeah, right on. Because it's like the one they have in Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
it's really cool. But you're saying, so you can, I imagine you can get an umbrella.
I think so. I feel like I've seen them, but...
Because the penguin has things like that.
Yeah, with the penguin, but then also on a practical level, that I was going to say, this is something else, one of the things I do like about carrying an umbrella, even if it's a small one, is I feel like it's semi-defensive in that...
Yeah.
Like tonight, I went for a walk here in Glasgow, and I walked in the under the Clyde or the pedestrian tunnel.
Oh yeah,
which I
oh
hadn't
yeah,
done
yeah.
before, which is really creepy and like.
Is it the red tunnel with? It's got like red window frames. It's down by the conference center.
I don't know. I think there's two sides, and so maybe it went to the other one.
Is it the one that you and I have walked through before?
No. It goes under. Well, at least I don't remember walking through with you before, but...
Oh, what could that be? But anyway, yeah. So it was a bit sketchy, and did you see some hoodlums?
I didn't, fortunately, but I felt like... Because you have to buzz in, and then there's a double like, prison door that slowly opens, and you go in, and they close behind you.
I have to talk to you about this after the podcast, because okay. I have no idea what this is. Where have you been, Peter?
But anyway, when I was walking in this half-mile tunnel that goes down, and then back up, I in this very narrow space where the pedestrians are supposed to walk in, so I was thinking, okay, well, I've got my umbrella. Little umbrella that
so
I can...
thwack them with your umbrella like an old little old lady.
Yes.
So, but yours is so stumpy.
Well, if you go like this, though...
Oh, that's good. Yeah. He's brandishing it, folks, like a cosh. Terrifying.
Kosh. What is a cosh?
Kosh is like a truncheon. Like a...
Oh. But the big one would be just as effective because you could then...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the hoodlums of Glasgow will be quaking in their boots.
This
one also is mostly plastic as well. That's one of the other design touches of the Muji one.
Oh, there's even the shaft?
Well, there is a metal shaft, actually.
Okay.
But it's very thin and it's capped at both ends with plastic.
Are the spines metal too, or are they...
They're plastic.
Whoa.
They're actually plastic, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is really... I would have thought...
Are they plastic? Oh. We're leaving dead air here while we investigate. But actually, I think they might be metal.
Okay. Well,
there's more metal in this than I was led to believe. Take it back. Get me a ticket to Birmingham. £70, please. Worth every penny.
Straight to Mr. Muji.
Mr. Muji, I assume, lives at the Toronto... The Tokyo branch, I assume.
I think he...
The Tokyo Muji looks very strange. So it's the first one, but... It doesn't look like the Mujis we have here in Europe and North America. They sell food.
Oh, okay.
So I think when it first started, Muji was like a grocery store.
Interesting.
So it still has... I don't think you could buy ice cream or beef there. It's it's more like dried goods. It's like a scoop shop almost.
Okay.
Isn't that the strangest thing?
That's really... Well, maybe they just realized people were more interested in the things to put the scoop stuff in.
Yeah, but you can't say, oh, how odd of them, because theirs is the original. You know, ours is the aberration.
Yeah.
So at some point they must have said, oh, in the West, they don't like nuts. They like notepads and umbrellas. They don't like coasters enough, though, so we'll stop those.
You really upset them about the coasters, aren't
you? They're little square coasters that are made of corduroy.
Oh,
and they're wonderful because they're so, they're kind of absorbent. And,
oh, those are the ones you have here.
That's them. Yeah. But let's not talk about coasters. Umbrellas.
Umbrellas.
Have we got any remaining umbrella facts or stories?
I know I'm
going to forget something and I'll be furious as soon as we finish this.
I was going to talk about one of my favorite Edward Gorey stories is, I think it's called a Sopping Thursday, and it's a bunch of there's a bunch of umbrellas in it, but what's great is that they are just the silhouette of the umbrella. So it's again kind of that shape, the umbrella shape, but the umbrellas will be just kind of like a solid black, and there'll be a bunch of them, and someone's marching into an umbrella store demanding that he wants an umbrella, and he looks at all the umbrellas, and so there's a whole pile of umbrellas, but none of them will do. So
oh, wow.
they all look the same. But
an umbrella is a very endearing thing to write a storybook about.
It is, yeah. I think it's, well, and actually too, I don't know if you saw that Pixar short film a few years ago. I can't remember. It was on the front of one of their feature, but it's about two umbrellas.
No,
and it's a full, and it's a a girl umbrella and a boy umbrella. And so the whole story is you just see the tops of the umbrellas and they have little tiny eyes and cute faces, and there's just music, and it's a rainy day in a city at night, and you just see all the umbrellas walking around, and you don't see the actual people. You see like just hints of the people, but it's a story about these two umbrellas trying to get together, and one gets blown away, and it's really sad.
That's lovely.
Sad.
So many pop culture things about umbrellas are occurring to me now. In the opening titles of Friends, you know, the American sitcom.
Yes, yeah.
In the first few series of that, it was all umbrellas for some reason.
Oh.
I think the opening titles, I got the impression, were they maybe put together by some photographer or something, like who wasn't actually part of the main production? But they've all got umbrellas. It's nothing to do with the show. It's only for visual impact. But yeah, for some reason, umbrellas, it was always, like in the early days of Friends, whenever you saw it advertised, it was always, they always had umbrellas. Totally strange.
Maybe it's something to do about that they're magical things with the way they open up and collapse. I mean, as a child, at least, that was always kind of the fascinating part about how this stick suddenly became a portable roof.
It's nothing to something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really strange. And the sound is satisfying.
Yes.
In fact, I wonder if that's where Bumbershoot, what that refers to, if it's indeed real. It could be Wikipedia vandalism, actually. But Bumbershoot kind of sounds like... It does. It sounds plausible, doesn't it?
It does.
And it sounds like this, you know, the wukachunk sound it makes when it goes
in. Yeah, you're right.
If you have a really big, strong golf umbrella, you sometimes do feel like Batman when it goes up, like the big wings going up.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Well, then even the wings, I don't know if you, as a child, tried jumping off steps and tree stumps holding umbrella, thinking
you know,
you'd fly.
I have no solid memory of that, but I do sense the feeling of it, of the air pressure coming, it's like filling the dome.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's,
The other thing was John Steed from The Avengers. It was a famous spy series in the 70s. It was two characters, and one was like a sexy lady in a cat suit, and he was like an English gentleman. He had a bowler hat and an umbrella, and his umbrella, I think, was a weapon, possibly. And that was a very particular one with a... oh, my goodness. I used to know the name of these umbrellas, but it escapes me now, but it has bamboo handle.
Oh,
so it's a curve of bamboo,
and
actually that really is the proper gentleman's umbrella.
Yes,
so I think Gustav Temple of the Chap, he advises if you're going to ponce about with an umbrella, it must have a bamboo cane handle. Yeah,
and that's the I guess I'm mixing up with the bamboo cane, but it's the same kind of
It's very similar stuff. I mean, I think it's very strong, and probably if you bought one like that now, would it have metal inside it, or is it strong enough on its own? I don't know.
I don't know.
I briefly owned one of those. He said, there you go, it's an umbrella I forgot about.
Yeah.
We were caught short in Edinburgh in the rain, I saw a rolled up umbrella on a market stall with a bamboo cane, and I thought, you know, I've always wanted a bamboo cane, and I need an umbrella now, so I'll get it.
Yeah.
But then I opened it, and there was a huge tear in one of the panels,
oh.
And the market, the seller said, oh, you can just have it. And I was like, oh, lovely, thank you. It's a damaged umbrella, but lovely. Then it basically kept me dry, but not my partner.
Oh.
So I'd rotate it. We'd share the benefit of half an umbrella.
Well, and you ended up in a different time from
and indeed went back in time, yes, to before it was raining. I think we should probably tie it up there because we're actually approaching our 60th minute.
Ah, that sounds like a perfect time to so we'll bid farewell to Eric and Stumpy.
Eric and Stumpy, and as the penguin on Batman always says, wah, 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 wah.
Okay.